James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus, and they said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at James and John. So Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The readings today got me thinking a lot about our exercise of defining who we are as a parish. So imagine for a moment that somebody who is a student of yours, maybe you're a professional teacher with a classroom full of them, or maybe you've been training a new employee at work, or maybe it's a son or daughter who's not yet fully grown, whatever the case may be. But imagine for a moment that some subordinate of yours approaches you one day and says, "I want you to do whatever I ask of you." James and John had some guts. I think my reaction, if someone were to do that, would be to tell them that their day is off to a really bad start. Whoever approaches any of us that way is likely due for a rebuke of some sort. James and John approach Jesus this way, and they're also in for a rebuke, but not quite the kind that might come to mind when I imagined if somebody were to approach me that way. I and many others might see such a thing as a failure to recognize my position in the relationship. The result would be both of us playing two different sides of the same game, a sort of a power game, a game where power is used more for influence or possibly coercion or potentially even abuse. This dynamic is described by Jesus as rulers of Gentiles who lord it over them and make their authority felt. Plato is credited for having said that only those who don't seek power are the ones that are qualified to hold it, implying that those who do seek power are not worthy of having it. But we as humans seem to reward those with the most ambition and then compete for their favor once those people have acquired power. James and John make that very human mistake in our gospel lesson today. They're getting close to Jerusalem, and they sense that they're on the cusp of some type of great political victory. For this reason, they miscalculate the time has now come for them to make a move to gain as much favor as possible in what they see will be a new regime that will be led by Jesus. In the letter to the Hebrews, though, Jesus is described as a high priest without sin, one who has been tested as we have, but has passed the test in every way, and for this reason is the perfect source for our redemption. This doesn't describe someone who is in some sort of ambitious pursuit of power, but one who aims to serve. It describes Jesus as a servant of God and therefore a servant of God's people. James and John earn their rebuke from Jesus not so much from their failure to understand this, but more for their willingness to act on a huge misunderstanding of what was happening. Jesus was not playing the power game that James and John believed was the basis for how society was structured and governed. Instead, he saw it as an opportunity to teach. He too had seen that the other 10 had become angry, which may have been just due to the fact that James and John made their power play before the rest of them got their chance to. In a way, all of them offered Jesus an opportunity to teach them all about what James and John didn't understand about what was happening, as they likely didn't understand any better themselves. So as I look at these papers that are hanging on the back wall, and I think about the things that we've captured on them, the things that we say about who we are as a church, I think about how I don't see anything about gaining power or influence. I see a lot about a sense of service to our spiritual community and to the larger community around us. That service is not to wield power or gain any influence over others. And my hope is that through the faith, generosity, and good works of St. James, that others may come to know how God and how Jesus influences our lives and come to know God better through their witness. So what is our role in service to a community filled with human temptation to seek pleasure, power, and influence through means that can be harmful to others? That question is one that I continue to ponder as I reflect on our future as a parish. And I think to go forward in this case, I need to go backwards a little bit. So I'll tell you a story from when I was in high school. I participated in some church conferences during two summers that were in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. The conferences were called the Craigville Colloquies, and they were named after the Cape Cod community where they were held. They brought together clergy and lay people from all over the country that were part of the United Church of Christ, and there were a few from some other denominations, including some Catholics. And the whole purpose was to create a position paper by the end of the conference that basically stated where our denomination stood on important issues that the church was facing those days. And these conferences were a week long, and the topics did not shy away from challenging issues. The first time I went, we were discussing our denomination's position on abortion. Another summer, the topic was whether we as Christians are saved through faith alone, or through works alone, or for some combination of the two. Breakout sessions occurred, and they involved a lot of spirited discussions, and sometimes they became very heated. Sometimes even fierce arguments broke out. And during these conferences, new friendships were made, and unfortunately some old ones ended, or at least took a break for a while. But the conferences weren't a failure. The position paper at the end was produced, and though we would probably never have total consensus or universal acceptance of what was produced, the attendees who all went had gone through a rigorous self-examination such that I doubt that anyone could have left with the exact same point of view that they had when they came into the conference. Last year, I was staying with my dad for a week while my mom was traveling in the East visiting with some family, and we reflected back on those intense conferences and wondered how such a tradition continued on and on for years involving a lot of the same people without tearing people apart. I thought for a few minutes and I suggested, I think the reason was because at the end of each day, we had a prayer service in the tabernacle and then a hymn sing. We ultimately were a community that no matter how much we could have felt threatened by each other during the day, we came together at night to sing and to pray. That was over 30 years ago. When I think about how passionate disagreement continues to stoke anger and even a lot of violence in our society today, I think about how easily our Craigville conferences could have descended into that same sort of madness had we not been a community of faith who all trusted that we were acting in service to God. And we renewed that promise to each other each night after we had a meal together by heading to the Tabernacle Chapel to close out the day through prayer and song. By doing this, we reminded ourselves that we were not here to play any kind of a power game against each other, but to serve God and to serve each other. Just as Jesus taught James, John, and the other disciples of this calling, so he did for us at Craigville. It's the same kind of spirit that draws me to this church, to St. James. I don't know how to put that into a bullet point that we can throw on the flip chart at the back of the room. So I'm doing it here from the pulpit. Though we may all have different views and opinions, I see a community in front of me that embodies the song service when we sing the words, "We are made for service to care for each other." And I see our challenge as defining how we can share this with the community that surrounds us.